welcome to episode 123 of the Walking Leader podcast. I am your host, David Guerra, the author of The Walking Leader, and The Walking Leader podcast is here to help give you the rules and the tools to help you succeed as a leader in your organization as well as in your professional and personal life. In this episode of The Walking Leader podcast, we're going to talk about something that is either starting to overtake or has already taken some of those workplaces here throughout the country, throughout the United States, throughout the world. But it does happen. It's that time of year. And I'm not talking about the holidays. No, I am talking about cold and flu season. It's in play. It's happening. It's all over the place. And while we can't, as leaders, as business owners, as managers, as people that are guiding and directing others, we cannot directly tell them what to do in their own home, but guess what? We can do it at work, because it does affect so many people. We can set some guidelines now to hopefully curtail that expansion of the flu and the cold throughout the workplace. See, your employees that physically deal or come in close proximity to your customers and other external stakeholders are most apt at getting the flu or catching a cold. Why? Because again, that's a communicable disease. That's how it spreads, through close contact, shaking hands, being around somebody who's already sick, somebody who sneezed into their hand and didn't clean themselves, that kind of stuff, it happens. But you know where it also happens? Employees that have children that go to school, because we all know kids are gonna get sick. And once one kid at school gets sick, everyone else is going to get sick. It doesn't matter. Teachers, if you're teachers, I feel for you. I understand. I'm on your side. I get it. But again, employees with children are more apt to catch a cold or get the flu. So what do you do? What do you do as a leader? What can you do? Well, obviously the one major preventative measure you can take right now is vaccinate. Get your vaccination. Get the flu shot. Be the first to get one. Be the first one in your organization. You're the leader. You're the one up on top. You're the one. You're the manager. You're the one everybody turns to. See, as a leader, you have to be that first one to get the shot when it's ready. Typically, I get it every September, mid-month to the end of the month of September. That way, whenever the latest batch is out, it's ready to go. I get it. See, not taking preventative measures is not the stuff of a leader. A leader has to be prepared. A leader has to look ahead. A leader has to look over the horizon. And yeah, getting the flu shot now is looking over the horizon, because you're taking the initiative. And getting that flu shot means you care enough about the people you lead to not be the one that made them sick, to not be the one that made them ill. Get that? That's why it's important. See, a leader has to look over that horizon, constantly look over the horizon. And when you look over that horizon, you see the problems that are going to come, and you see that, well, either you can contribute to the problems or you can contribute to the solution. And by getting that flu shot now, you are contributing to that solution. So, and I'm not going to dive into the number of sick days that people take based on being sick every year or catching the flu. No, you get that all the time. But when you get sick, you as a leader, when you are out of action, it doesn't matter if it's one day, 1 week, 2 weeks, whatever it takes for you to get over it. What does happen is that you become an ineffective leader. Why? Because one, you didn't take care of yourself. Two, you didn't think of your troops enough to take care of them by taking care of yourself first. See, a lot of people believe in that, oh, well, the troops come first, the mission, the people come first. Yes, but great. Or in some cases, you know, you hear, you know, family first and all this and all that, and then you put yourself second. You cannot do that. Your employees are your family. You cannot do that, because if you're not effective, if you're not out there 100% of the time, what good are you? So you've got to get that flu shot, and that means you've got to take care of yourself. That means, yes, putting yourself first, because if you're not effective, they're going to see that, and they're going to see you as ineffective, and what do you care? What do they care at that point? It trickles down. So what do you do? How do you get your people to buy into getting the flu shot, into getting the flu shot, into just saying, you know what, Dave's right, we need to get the flu shot. Well, what do you do is, obviously, well, you can just tell them to do it. You can't force them to do it. You can tell them to do it. You can say, hey, look, if you go get your flu shot in the morning, you have the afternoon off. You give them an incentive. You let them know that, hey, you're thinking about enough about them to just go ahead and get it done. And this is what it means to the organization. This is what it means to each other. This is what it means to everyone. customers, external stakeholders, internal stakeholders, everyone. And so that's what I'm saying. You can offer time off. Take the flu shot, come in late tomorrow morning, because typically after you get that flu shot, you have that one day that you're just not up to par, because that's your body reacting to the live virus, in this case, if you get injected with the live virus. And also, well, it's just your body reacting to the injection of whatever this foreign body that just got introduced into your body. And so again, it takes time. So you can give them half a day off or a day off. It's strictly up to you. You know what's best for your organization, but offer an incentive. Offer to pay 100% of the vaccination or reimburse for any out of pocket expense for those that have insurance. Most insurances will 100% cover it, because it is preventative measures, preventative maintenance. It is preventative medicine. So they will cover it 100%, because again, they can take care of you now just with this injection, this vaccination. They won't have to worry about the long-term 2 weeks of pain for everything else that goes behind it, that doctor's visit, obviously. So it makes sense. But for those organizations that are small enough, I was part of an organization. I was a director of operations for a small organization, and we didn't have insurance. We didn't offer insurance. But what we did do is pay 100% of that vaccination. So wherever they decided to go get their vaccination, they had to go get it. Obviously, unfortunately, they had to do the upfront payment, but we did reimburse them 100% for that expense. Another incentive you can do is offer to pay for the whole family, or reimburse for any out-of-pocket expense for the whole family. And we're talking immediate family, spouse, children, that kind of thing, not like second uncle or third aunt or next door neighbor's cousins, a dog walker. No, nothing like that. But offer some kind of incentive. Let them know you're really, really, truly encouraging them to go out there and get that flu shot. But it all begins with you. It truly does. Again, depending on where you're physically located, obviously ensure that everybody has the proper attire. Always at work, you have to have that proper attire to do the job. But if they're working in a warehouse, ensure that they're wearing warm clothes, that they have clothes that's not too loose, that's gonna get caught in some machinery or something in the warehouse. No. But ensure that they're wearing protective gloves, protective eyewear, for them to be prepared. Protective eyewear, yes. Sneezing, coughing, that spittle will get out there and land, and it will get in. It'll turn to a mist when people sneeze, and it gets in people's eyes, and that's another way of transmitting the virus. So again, be prepared. Make sure you have the proper attire, warm clothing, gloves, protective gear, whatever you need to do your job on a regular basis, but ensure that also you're staying protected in the cold weather environments or in those high traffic areas where people can easily exchange fluids through a sneeze, a cough. You get what I'm saying. Another thing that you can do in the workplace, and you've seen it, if you've been to any restaurant, you've used a restroom in any restaurant, you see those signs that every employee before returning back to work must wash their hands. Well, you can make it non-negotiable for your employees. Make them wash their hands. For the customers, it's recommended. Obviously, you can't force your customers, but it recommended. Recommend it. Say, hey, look, we're washing our hands. You can wash your hands too. You know, not only is it good sanitary measures, but it's also good to help curtail the spread of any kind of virus or cold or whatever. Now, this is going to be controversial. This is definitely controversial, but it does have some validity to it. And people are either for it or against it, and I'm kind of in between. But have antibacterial / sanitizer stations available and highly visible. There was one organization I went to, and they had it just about at every corner, little hand sanitizer stations at just about every corner of the office itself. Pretty cool. Really neat. The only problem was is they weren't refilled. Yeah, no, none of them were refilled. They were all empty. And that's not a good thing, because if you're going to go to all that trouble of having those sanitizer stations all over the place, then by all means go to the trouble of having them refilled, stocked. And so I don't know. I haven't been back there, but it was just interesting. I was impressed first that they had the stations. Next, they didn't have them refilled. So have those antibacterial sanitizer stations. And like I said, I know it's controversial, but you know what? People can opt to use it or they can opt out of using it. That's up to them. Good soap and hot water, and that'll take care of that. You know, and then some people say, well, you know, it's not the soap. It's more of the friction that you create. So 15 seconds of high friction. I don't know. I'm not a professional in that sense, but I do know washing your hands and taking care of yourself really, really, truly works. The next thing, what you can do as a leader, as a manager, as a business owner, is help develop an out-of-office procedures. develop procedures that what happens to the organization when those that cannot come into work, either because they're sick or they're taking care of an immediate family member that is sick, so what can they do? Can those people work from home? And should they? Would you allow that? Would they want that? Would that be allowed? Would that go against what they're doing? Work with them. Work with them, especially those that, you know, don't want to, they want to use their sick leave, but also need to get some work done. Work with them. But also know that if they're home under a doctor's direction, then guess what? They need to be at home and allowed to rest. So ensure that they're resting, taking care of themselves, getting themselves better, because the sooner they get themselves better, the sooner they get back to work, the sooner they can get back to doing things. And speaking of getting back to work, this is a big one. If they've been given time off and it's been more than 3 days, it should already be in your company policy and procedures, but ensure that they have a doctor's clearance to return to work. A return to work clearance. See, because the last thing you want is someone who is not ready to come back to work, but thinks that they are ready to come back to work and gets everyone sick. No, they themselves might be on the downside, but they're still contagious. And now everybody's sick. And then what have you got? Exactly. You've got everybody, all because one person didn't get that medical clearance, or you didn't allow that medical clearance to come in, or you didn't force that medical clearance, or it wasn't in your policy and procedure handbook, and it should be there now. Especially for more than 3 days worth of work. One, you want to make sure that person is ready to go, that they've been seen by a doctor, and they anticipate that the illness will take this on, because they're medical professions. The people that are sick, and just know they're sick, they're not medical professionals. And guess what? Unless you are a medical professional, you are not a medical professional. And so how do you know when people are ready to come back to work? Sure, you want them to come back to work. Sure, you want them to be ready. Sure, you want them to be at 100%, but the last thing you want is for them to be, well, not at 100%, but maybe looking like 100, but acting at 40. And less than 0.5%, less than 50% is not good. Less than 100% is definitely not good. But again, work with them and encourage them to get that doctor's clearance to come back to work, or don't let them come back to work. It's just that simple. Now, these are just a few of the steps that I did to take. These are just a few recommendations, stuff that I've experienced over the years and stuff that you should be doing now and taking care of things. But if you don't have anything set up now, it's not too late. It's never too late to get started. Remember, there's that old adage, that old saying, an ounce of prevention prevents a pound of cure. And folks, nothing could be further from the truth. An ounce of prevention does prevent a pound of cure. It really, truly does. There's no way around it. What you do today will have long-lasting repercussions. So ensure that you're talking to your people. Ensure that you get vaccinated. Ensure that you convey how important it is for everybody to be vaccinated. Help them if you can, financially, that is, if there is no insurance where you're at. And again, ensure that they're wearing the proper clothes, ensure that they're properly washing their hands all the time, using that sanitizer if that's what they like. But again, anything that helps prevent them from getting sick and getting your customers sick, because that's also the last thing you want. It's like, oh, well, don't go over there because they're just going to get you sick. Develop those out-of-office procedures, and of course, when everybody's ready to come back to work, make sure that there's a doctor's clearance, because the last thing you want is for something bad to happen because they were not at 100%. Folks, if you have any comments, questions, concerns about what I just talked about in this episode of the Walking Leader Podcast, then please get a hold of me. I'm always on Twitter at Dave Guerra. That's DaveGuerra. It's all one word, at Dave Guerra. I look forward to hearing from you. Be sure you can email me. And so be sure you write this one down, dave@daveguerra.com. That's my email address, dave@daveguerra.com. And I also look forward to hearing you from there. Listen, I'm about to wrap this up. So my name is David Guerra. I am the author of the books, The Walking Leader, Great to Follow. I thank you for your time. I do appreciate it. I appreciate you. Happy holidays. Stay safe. Stay warm. Stay dry. Get that flu shot if you haven't already got it. And also, what else you can also do is catch up on my back catalog. This is episode 123. That means there's 122 other episodes back there. So don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, and you can find that link on my website, daveguerra.com. And more specifically, daveguerra.com/podcast. And before I go, I always want to leave you with this, because I want to remind you to always go beyond the grind and to go always go beyond the hustle, because that is the only way to be a walking leader and a leader that is great to follow. And that's you.